Amen. Thank you, Brandon. So today we continue in the sixth sermon in a series of seven of the I Am statements of Jesus. And our scripture today is John 14, verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you for the power of your word. And as it unfolds before us, may our hearts be quickened. May we be renewed, refreshed, and restored, strengthened in the power of your word. Lord, may your words flow through me in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Now, there is a picture that's up on the screen. Don't know how well you can see that. I wished I would have made it larger for you. But it is one of the most photographed streets in America. And amazingly, it is only one block long. And people from all over the world, that helps a little bit, good. And people from all over the world come and rent a car just so that they can drive on this street. And I don't know, do any of you recognize the picture? Have you ever seen it? Yes, yes. The name of this street is Lombard Street, and it is in San Francisco. The hill is so steep that it would be too dangerous for vehicles to going both ways at the same time. So between the years of 1922 and 23, this part of Lombard Street was transformed into switchbacks, and there are eight sharp turns. And you can only drive downhill, you can only go east, and people love to do it, and there doesn't seem to be people really mind that section of that street. And so that's Lombard Street, more than you ever wanted to know. If you're ever there, you can go and check it out. But there is also another one-way street that is as infamous and as famous as the Lombard Street, and it's not steep, but it is straight. And unlike Lombard Street, it is the most unpopular one-way street in the world. And it is unpopular for two reasons. Because of where it leads and because of who it is named after. And the name of that one-way street is Jesus. Amen. That's right. Amen. In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes seven I Am statements, which is what we have been looking at over the past 6 weeks. And he tells us in his own words who he is. He is trying to illustrate who he is and what he does. And he does it without names and titles, but does it with metaphors. And so far, we have heard that Jesus is a shepherd. He is the gate. He is the bread. He is the light. Last week we learned that he is the two weeks ago that he is the resurrection, and today we are looking at I am the way, the truth, and the life. Today's claim is one of the most controversial statements in all of Jesus' ministry, one of the most controversial statements in our nation today. Jesus has just finished telling his disciples that he is going to die. And that on the third day he would rise, but that he was also going to leave. And we need to realize that the disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They'd been with him for 24/7. And everywhere Jesus went, they went with him. And now he has told them that he is about to go away. And where he is going, they can't follow him right there, right there. So you can imagine that they were confused and probably a little bit frightened. And so Jesus begins with this word of comfort to his disciples, and he tells them, do not let your heart be troubled. And the word troubled here, translated in the original Greek, is agitated or disturbed. Do not let your heart be agitated. Do not let your heart be disturbed. And in fact, what Jesus is saying is when things don't go how you've planned them, how you think they're going to be, when things appear to be at their darkest, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he goes on and he gives the reason why. Verse 2 through 4. Don't be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. And to me, here's the fascinating part. My Father's house has room to spare. And if that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Yeah, that's good news. And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be too. And you know the place and you know how where I'm going. And Jesus lets the disciples know where he is going. And where he is going is he's going to do some work. He's going to prepare the place for his disciples and for you and I. And for whenever we leave this earth. And he is going to come back and he is going to make sure that we get there safely with him. And that's good to know. But if you remember, the one who was named the nickname Doubting Thomas, well, he comes through in true form. In verse 5, he says, well, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus answers his question. And he gives the most outrageous, most politically incorrect, in-your-face statement that Jesus ever said. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I don't have to tell you that when people hear this statement, their blood pressure rises, and it angers many people. It causes much controversy over anything else that Jesus has ever said. Because the truth is the vast majority of the people in our world and in this nation believe differently. And I don't have to tell you that Jesus better be ready to prove what he has just said. And he does. But if you are to do a Google search of the religious beliefs, believe it or not, there are over 37,000 different religious beliefs. And some people will say that every one of those different religious beliefs are equal and valid and that they all lead to God. Oh, they may just take a different path. There may be different opinions, different twists, and different turns. But in the end, they will tell you that it all leads to God. And that kind of thinking is very popular in our culture today, sad to say. Here are a few quotes from some. John Lennon. I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have all gone wrong. Mahatma Gandhi says, all paths leading to God are equally good. Now, I want you to know that I have heard even some of my colleagues say this statement. I have heard seminary professors say this statement. Homer Simpson, I am going to die. Jesus, Allah, Buddha, I love you all. Isn't he going to be surprised? Oprah Winfrey, one of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe that there is only one way. There are many diverse paths leading to God. So let's get honest today. There might even be some in this room today that squirm. That squirm at the statement because there are many Bible-believing people who claim to be Christian that believe that Jesus is a way to God, that he is probably a good way and the best way, but they don't believe that he is the only way. And of the 6 billion people who are on this planet, there are more than 1 billion Muslims 650 million Hindus, 300 million Buddhists, and over 200 million followers of Chinese folk religion, and only 25% of the world's population who claim to be Christian believe that Jesus is the only way. And so you can imagine the world to say, who are you, little minority, to stand up and tell us that we are all wrong and that Jesus is the only way to God? The good news is it's not me saying it, and it's not you saying it. It's Jesus Christ himself saying it. And if he said it, I think we need to sit up and take notice, because I think that it has everlasting value and effect upon our life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. And the reason for this statement is that Jesus tells us that the way to heaven is not a path, it is not a philosophy, it is not a practice, it is a person, and he is that person, and we are to be in relationship with this person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And if you do not take anything else away from this sermon, take this away. And that is, the only way to God is a one-way street that dead ends to Jesus Christ. Amen. There is more to this statement than meets the eye, though. Because if Jesus, what he said is true, and he said it, here is an example of taking God's word and allowing our lives to line up to what it says, rather than taking your life and making the scripture line up to what you want it. If Jesus, what he said is true, and I believe that it is, then there are three conclusions that we have to draw that is going to rock some people's worlds. Truth number one, we must realize religion is not the way to God. One of the consistent threads that runs through every other religion in this world is that all religions lead to heaven. So the first myth about religion that we need to dismiss is that all religions are basically the same. That is what is dictated in our culture. The worldview says that all religions fundamentally teach the same thing. Each may be different road, some may have different twists and takes, but they all lead to the same place. And we know that Jesus just made the statement, that's not so. So that belief cannot be true, because with that one statement, Jesus puts Christianity in a class all by itself. Jesus calls us unto himself. And if the only path to God is through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then Christianity cannot be reconciled with other religions. You need to understand this. The uniqueness of Christianity is grounded and founded in the uniqueness of Jesus Christ himself. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you the way to salvation. And Jesus said, I am salvation. Other religious leaders say, I am so passionate about this, and I don't mean to be moved to tears, but what you need to realize is our world doesn't believe this way. And this is an important message you need to get and you need to share and not be afraid. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you how to find the truth. And Jesus said, I am truth. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you how you can live a meaningful life. And Jesus said, I am the life. There is a huge, huge difference. And the predominant worldview says all religions teach basically the same thing, but you cannot see Christianity as that way, because Christianity isn't about religion, it is about relationship. The four major world religions differ when it comes to the matter of salvation. The first is Hinduism. Hindus worship more than 300 different gods. Hindus identify the chief problem of human race as the failure to recognize that we are already divine beings, thus are sentenced to an endless cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Thus you have the reincarnation. They say that the only way to break through this endless cycle is through a spiritual development of self-denial. Buddha. Buddha, who was at one time a follower of Hinduism himself, decided to develop his own religion built on the premise that the basic problem of the human race is the desire for pleasure, status, and amenities of life. And his solution was to enter into a state of rest called Nirvana. You want to know about entering into a state of rest? Read the book of Hebrews. And he goes on and says to achieve this is by following the noble eightfold path, whatever that is. And then there's Islam. Islam is at least monotheistic, which is the worship of one God, and that one God is Allah. And oh, by the way, Allah is not Jesus Christ, and it is not the one true God. And it teaches you that in order to get to heaven, you have to obey the laws of Allah and follow the fivefold path of salvation that is laid out in the book of Quran. And even then, you're not sure if you'll make it. Christianity, as opposed to all these other four basic religions, says it isn't what we do for God. And it isn't what we earn from God that grants us salvation. It is what God has done for us and offers us that free gift of grace that brings us salvation. And there is a huge difference. And beyond all that, if religion could get you to heaven, then there is simply no explanation for Jesus' death on the cross or for him to come to this earth in the first place. Because God chose to reconcile this earth and all humanity to himself in and through his Son. And Jesus Christ did come to this earth and he did live a sinless, holy life. He did die on the cross. He did resurrect, which gives him the privilege and the right and the authority to make the claim that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. And he did all of that so that we could have a relationship with God. And I mean relationship, knowing him intimately. Not everyone who claims and says, Lord, Lord, is in. It's, you must know him. Second truth, we must realize that self-righteousness is not the way to God either. Our goodness and good deeds means absolutely nothing to God. Good without God is never enough. In fact, Jesus said that no one is good except the Father, which means that we cannot please God by simply being a good person and doing all the good we can. If that was true, then we could get to God in and through good works, which is called works righteousness. And God wants us to have a relationship with him. And everything in our culture and society eats away at the fabric of any kind of relationship with one another, much less God. And we wonder why there are so many hopeless, destitute people in our world today. God wants us to have a relationship. God wants to have a relationship with his people, and the only way to do that is in and through his Son, Jesus. I have asked a lot of people this question. If you were to stand before God, and God were to say to you, "Why should I let you get into heaven?" What would your answer be? If you were to stand before God today and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Here are some of the answers I've heard. Well, I try to keep the commandments. I've always tried to be good and do the right thing. I've never done fill in the blank. Well, I've tried to live a good life. And as I thought about that, it made me realize that getting to God for some people is kind of like going to Home Depot. And what I mean by that is Home Depot is full of do-it-yourselfers. You know, the DIY or DIY station. Because most people in Home Depot are buying things to repair their home themselves. They don't want to contract it out, hire it out. They're in there. I do it myself. And that is exactly what a lot of people think that they can do in order to get to God. They think, I can do it myself. I can be good enough. I can give enough money. I can attend church enough. I can pray enough. I can do all of these things. And when I do all of these things and jump through enough hoops, I can do it myself. And is that not the theme in Northwest Texas? I pull myself up by my own bootstraps and I do it myself. Right? Yep. We like to get her done, don't we? But here's the problem with that. If you try to build your own road to God, first of all, you're building a toll road. And you have to pay your way as you go, and that is called work righteousness. And secondly, the road that you have built is going the wrong way. If you try to be good enough for God, you're going to wind up getting further and further away from Him because you will never be good enough. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is the highway to God is a freeway, and I mean that literally. It is a freeway. It is not a toll road. You don't have to pay to get on it. You can enter it anytime that you want to. Every other religion in the world is based on a system of work righteousness. I want you to hear that. Every other religion in the world is based on a system of work righteousness. Every other religion in the world is a Home Depot religion. I do it myself. You cannot earn your way to God. Works righteousness does not work. The way to God is by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say goodness is the way, kindness is the way, sweetness is the way. He said, I am the way. Which leads to the last truth, and that is we must realize only a relationship will get us to God. Jesus said in verse 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't believe it, take it up with Him. And if that is true, then all roads don't lead to God. But the sad thing is not everyone recognizes that Jesus is the ultimate authority either. The way to God is one-way street, and if you're on any other street, you're on the wrong street, and you're going the wrong way. Because you see, the problem is that what lies between us and God is a barrier, and that barrier is called sin. And if we're going to be reconciled with a holy and perfect God, we have to be made holy and perfect as well, and that only comes in and through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Because you see, Jesus paid the penalty for death, for all of the wrongs, past, present, and future that we will ever do. And you can either choose to pay it with your own soul, which you don't want to do, or the payment of Jesus' life. Because what you need to hear is this. God is a covenant-keeping God. And His wrath or judgment against sin, and wrath is not an emotion. Wrath does not equal anger. Wrath equals judgment. And God's judgment or wrath against sin is Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that's the best news of all. God's wrath and judgment against sin is Jesus Christ. If your home is on fire, you will call a firefighter and not a policeman. If you break a leg, you will call a doctor and not a plumber. If your home is broken into, you're going to call a policeman and not a doctor. And if you're drowning, you're going to call a lifeguard and not a plumber. If we as sinful beings want to be reconciled to a holy and righteous God, then we better call on the Savior, don't you think? Jesus Christ is the only one who is resurrected. All of these other gurus and these other religions are dead. And it may not be politically correct, but it is true nonetheless. If you are lost, Jesus is the way to God. If you are confused, Jesus is the truth. And if you are hopeless, Jesus is the life from God. It is a one-way street, and it is the best street ever traveled. Let us pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as I close this out in prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to begin to move in and through this congregation and to begin to pour out your love, your truth upon our hearts, that we recognize the conviction that is there. The conviction of the sin of trying to do things by ourselves, trying to live a life separate from you, trying to be in control and doing it my way rather than being in relationship and allowing you to be in control and doing things your way. Forgive us, God, that we are so short-sighted that we think we know what is best. Here we celebrate Father's Day, and you are our Father, you are our Abba, and so many times we fail to run to you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Thank you for giving us the gift, the free gift of grace, that we can have sweet fellowship with you, Abba, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. And we love you, sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Appropriate song. Thank you. Go forth this day. Walk in sweet fellowship with Abba. Receive the sweet gift that Jesus Christ has given unto us, which is salvation. Go forth and be blessed. Amen.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. Thank you. thank God.